Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this podcast. Thanks once again for joining me on another Pentertainment podcast. My co-host, Tom Odd Oink, is not in today, but today I have a guest. The guest is my good buddy, Drew Brown of Goulet Pens. Drew, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Roy.
How is everything?
Everything is excellent. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. Now, I visited Goulet Pens a couple of months ago during the DC Pen Show, and you were very hospitable, so I do appreciate having the chance to host you on my podcast.
Awesome. No, it was an exciting time. You came, you did a Right Now episode with us, we did a live video on Facebook, and a fun time was had.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. So what's new with you? Anything?
Not a thing, you know, coming from the retail world, we just finished the whole Black Friday week, Cyber Monday thing, so it's an exciting time of year, but it's even more exciting to be here. This is a new thing for you. I know, what is this, episode 4, and so far it's been pretty exciting. I'm happy to be a part of it. And let me just say, I've been listening, and I need to commend you for your eloquence. I have such a hard time not saying, and, you know, I say all those filler words, and you are not super bad at that, man. You just flow.
I do say a lot of My filler word is, you know, or like.
It doesn't sound so bad. I don't pick up on it. It bothers me because I say it all the time, and I hear myself, I'm like, oh, God, Drew, quit it.
You're pretty good. I gotta say, you're pretty good, especially with the YouTube channel that you do for Goulet Pens and whatnot. But, there was an right there. So anyway, I do want to talk about you a little bit, Drew Brown. Drew Brown is an employee at Goulet Pens, for anybody who doesn't know. He is an entertainer, in my personal opinion. He is a great pen entertainer. But there's a lot of questions that people have regarding the enigma that is Drew Brown.
Drew Brown is not an enigma. Drew Brown is pretty much an open book, but go for it.
I'm not really sure what enigma was. I said it to sound smart, so now I'm regretting having said it, because then I might have to actually look it up, because I don't know what enigma means. I just seen it in sci-fi movies and stuff.
It's like a mystery.
Okay, so then good. I'm glad I said enigma, because that's what I want to say.
Yeah, like Edward Nigma, the Riddler, right?
So tell me, how it is that you got into fountain pens? Was it through the employment at Goulet Pens, or was it just something that you were a fan of before you started working for Goulet Pens? Like, how did that come about?
No, I had never used a fountain pen before I got my job at Goulet. This was probably 2011. I was working at a foreclosure firm that, you know, pretty much I was title examining. So when the bank wanted to take someone's house, I would help the law firm, help them do it. It was an awful job. It sucked your soul. And it was just day in, day out, just an ocean of cubicles. Everyone absolutely miserable. They wouldn't even look at each other in the face. Everybody knew they were unhappy. Nobody wanted to be there. It was awful. And I didn't belong there. I knew I didn't belong there. And so one day I'm looking on Facebook, and a buddy from high school, Brian Goulet, needed some help in his garage. I had bought a couple of his hand-turned wood pens as groomsmen's gifts a few years ago, so I was, you know, acquainted with him, and I guess he had stopped selling the wood pens and was now retailing, so I was like, yeah, I can help. What do you want me to do? I don't care. Help me. Yes, whatever. No benefits. Can't match my pay. I don't even care. Get me out of here. So I went over, and he showed me his garage. I'm like, all right, this is something. Okay, yeah, so interview or anything like that? He's like, no, I know you. I've known him since second grade, so... You know, he knew I wasn't a, you know, total crazy man, but, you know, got the job there and wrote with the first one, I went ahead and bought one pretty early, and it was a Lamy All-Star with a 1.1 nib.
Nice.
And loved it. That was back when we were, every pen we got in, we would take the nibs off of them so that whenever anybody ordered, we would just put whatever nib they wanted on there, so the All-Star could technically kind of come with a 1.1 back then. Now you can only get one of the Joys, but it was fantastic. I loved it. And the ink selection, coming off of the foreclosure firm job in the anonymous cubicle ocean where everybody got their pens from the same supply closet, it was one of two black or blue roller balls. So everybody was writing the same thing. If I could just have gone back in time and had a unique element to my everyday, just like a fountain pen, it would have made office life just a little bit more tolerable. So holding that in my hands, I really instantly understood the attraction to it, how it was my pen with the nib that I picked, the ink that I picked. It was just an expression of me, and people could use it to inject a little bit of personality into anything they did day to day. So it was an instant love for sure. I got bit by the virus.
That's really interesting. I got to know though, how much writing did you do when you were at this law office?
Quite a bit. It was not a paperless office. We printed out a lot of stuff. Basically, when you examine title, you need to go through all of the homeowner's debt. And the easier way to do that, which was what this office did anyway, I'm not an expert by any means, but the way we did it was we printed out a ton of stuff, liens, deeds of trust, all sorts of documents to make notes on. So it was just easier having the physical copies.
That must have been a very tough place. What made it so miserable for you to work there? Other than the fact that they didn't have fountain pens there.
Well, it was during the housing crisis. So a lot of people were losing their homes, and being a part of that just felt really bad and depressing. And it was a really, really toxic work environment. The attorney that led that particular branch was not the nicest guy in the world. I feel like everybody there was a person that got fired almost every Friday.
Jesus.
It was just a very uncomfortable place to work at, which makes me appreciate Goulet so much. And, you know, it's good to have that experience so that you know when you do find a good place, you really appreciate it.
Mm. So let me ask you, though, what kind of, if any, risk was there from going from a job where, due to the housing crisis, everybody's foreclosing on their houses? I guess at that point in time, being in the foreclosure business is the place to be if you need to make money. When you switched over to Goulet, was there risk? Was there a decrease in pay? Was there some sort of...
Oh, it was a huge risk. It was crazy. There was no good reason to do it. It was crazy. They were out of their garage, and he was trying to sell fountain pens during a recession. It was madness. Like, there was no good reason to do it at all. But I've known Brian for a long time, and in high school, he was very mature. He and I weren't great friends in high school just because I was pretty immature, and he was very mature. He was, you know, a chorus leader, a band leader. You know, he had his stuff together. He really did, and I didn't even come close to figuring my world out until much later. But I did know that he just had it together, and he had a drive and a clarity of mind that was unique. And I knew that being a part of what he was doing was going to pay off. And when we went to visit he and Rachel at his house, my wife came with me. And when we walked into his garage for the first time, and he was talking about what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, the part that I could play, she started to cry. Like, she knew how miserable I was and how sad I was and how I was bringing home with me this cloud of just, I don't know, it was just like a dark cloud. And she just knew that this was the right place, and it just brought her to tears because she felt like it was what I finally deserved. And it was just a moment of clarity that we both had, and it worked out.
So she was actually supportive. That was my next question. So she wasn't against you taking a pay cut or taking risk or investing into something that may not be good in the future. She was actually supportive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, she and I, you know, we both have times where we need a little bit from the other person, and we're always there.
So you guys weren't the best of friends when you were in high school. So if someone ever told you from the future, went back to you when you were in high school, was like, hey, listen, you're going to be eventually working with this guy and you're going to be selling fountain pens, what would you have said in high school?
I guess I wouldn't be that surprised. I'm like, okay, yeah, that Brian Goulet, he's got it together. He's a pretty smart guy, you know. I wouldn't be super surprised. I mean, back then I thought I was going to be a director. So I guess, you know, I would be a little surprised because, you know, everybody in high school has this grand plan that they're going to be some incredible force of nature that's going to change the world. But once I got down off of that, I'd be like, all right, well, as far as the plan B goes, that Brian Goulet's a solid dude. I think I can handle that.
So you wanted to be in film?
Yeah, I actually went to a really crappy film school in Raleigh for digital filmmaking. And yeah, that didn't work out.
Well, you know, it's one of those careers. It usually, most of the time for most people, doesn't work out. And you know, when it doesn't work out, you don't really contribute much to the world. But doing what you do now, you're actually contributing a lot to growing the fountain pen industry and whatnot. But let me ask you, you're doing these videos with Brian all the time, and you're getting your time to shine, and you're getting your time to be yourself and be your comedic, enjoyable self on YouTube. Do you feel like you're incorporating any of your experience with your film school into your videos and your collaborations with Brian Goulet?
No, not specifically. We did take a trip to Italy recently, and Brian and I both co-shot a lot of footage there. I got to fly my drone, so that was a lot of fun. And he and I both have a pretty good sense of what makes a good shot. So hopefully, when we finally get around to editing that stuff, well, I shouldn't say we. Andy is going to be doing it. She's our videographer at the office. But once that all gets done, hopefully, she doesn't get super bothered by the poor framing of the shots. Hopefully she's like, all right, that Brian and Drew aren't garbage, but guess we'll see.
We'll see.
She'll be able to make it look good regardless. Nowadays, I overproduce vacation videos that my family goes on. Sometimes I go kayaking and I make a little GoPro montage out of that. So I get my fix in here and there. Your editing's pretty solid too. I remember the first time I saw one of your videos, the intro blew me away. As far as fountain pen bloggers go, you really set yourself apart with that.
Yeah, that's just obsessiveness. People think that I'm disciplined, they think I'm dedicated and stuff. Maybe, but for me, it's when I do anything, I have to do it until I'm satisfied with it. It doesn't
Yeah,
matter.
you go all in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if 10,000 people tell me it's good enough. If I don't think it's good enough, I just won't stop. I'm like an obsessive Rain Man type entity that has to make the perfect intro for a fountain pen video, and I won't stop.
Well, I'm glad you're a part of our community. If you're going to obsess about something, I'm glad you're obsessing about this.
Yeah, speaking obsessive, you know what I just got in the mail today? And this is just a little bit off topic. I got me the forged carbon Panaeder La Grande Bellezza. Forged
Ooh.
friggin' carbon. It is so
Nice.
nice.
Oh, that is
It is so
gorgeous.
nice.
Doesn't it feel unique? Like it feels kind of like the Homo sapiens feels. It's like it's never really cold. It's always kind of it's a little porous, kind of like the volcanic resin, but it's also really hard too. It doesn't feel it's really unique.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know what to say, but like vibranium, or rather not vibranium, adamantium in the Wolverine movies and the X-Men movies, Origin X-Men movie. This looks like the pool of adamantium before it was solidified into a skeleton.
Oh, right.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it looks
This is
really wicked.
the closest thing you can get to an adamantium fountain pen, as far as I'm concerned. And Dante DV figured it out. He is a freaking pen making psycho. I love him.
Yeah, he's always going to push the envelope. And that's another one. That's another obsessive, borderline crazy guy that we have in the fountain pen industry, and we're really lucky to have him because he could be making all sorts of stuff out there in any
Oh,
industry,
yeah.
but he chose to be part of the fountain pen industry, and we're lucky.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about him is he started riding motorcycles and racing motorcycles when he's 50 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even close to 50 yet. I won't step on a skateboard. This guy's out of his mind. You know?
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I am not an innate risk taker.
I gotta ask you though. You're into fountain pens, you were into film directing, you're also into mixed martial arts. Like you watch the UFC and stuff like that, and you have such a vast interest when it comes to like all kinds of stuff. It would seem, minus fountain pens, everything is like related, like games, video games, sports, MMA. And it's kind of like me in the same way. Fountain pen seems kind of out of the norm for guys like us, wouldn't you say?
I will say I don't meet a lot of MMA slash fountain pen people, that's for sure.
Right. And I think that's how we kind of started communicating more personally as opposed to just always business. You reached out to me one day and you're like, hey, I was watching one of your videos and you mentioned, who was it that I mentioned? Cain Velasquez?
Yeah, it was either, yeah, I think it was Cain Velasquez, and it's just not those worlds just do not intersect very often.
No, not very often. Do you, as someone who works at Goulet, and I don't want to talk too much about work because I know you're not working, did you ever get a phone call from someone like famous saying, hey, I want to order a fountain pen?
Let's see. Yeah, one time Alton Brown ordered some stuff from us, and he was just communicating with one of our team members over Twitter, and he said he wanted a wax seal stamp. We were selling a J. Urban illuminated wax seal, and he wanted a B for Brown, and we were out, and we were like, oh crap, this is Alton Brown, man. We can't, we gotta have something for him. Coincidentally, I had my own Jerbon wax seal stamp with a B on it.
Uh-huh.
So I sacrificed it for the greater good. We sent him my B. So somewhere out there, Alton Brown has my wax seal. Well, it's his now, but...
That's pretty cool. Just in case anybody out there doesn't know, tell everybody who Alton Brown is.
Oh, he's the host of a show called Good Eats, and he also hosts Iron Chef America, I believe. He's a celebrity chef slash kind of like science nerd.
Any other famous people? Anybody in like the mixed martial arts world ever? I'm only asking because I'm a big fan of...
I sent one time a pilot parallel set to Michelle Watterson.
The Karate Hottie. Pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, she was practicing calligraphy on her Instagram feed, and I said, hey, I've got this pen that's actually really good for this, I can send you one. And, you know, the parallels, they're really affordable for what they are. And she said, yeah, sure. So she got it, you know, gave us a little shout out on one of her Instagram stories. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool because she's a legit, you know, mixed martial artist, UFC fighter. What is she? What weight division? 135 or 115? 115, right?
She was originally in the atom weight division in Invicta before she came over to the UFC. So she's fighting at the lightest weight, yeah, which is a straw weight at 115. So she's a natural atom weight, which is why she, you know, is sometimes a little overpowered by the women in that division.
Right. I mean, she's also 5'3".
Yeah.
She's a little smaller.
So it's just she would probably be a lot more destructive if the UFC had a atom weight division.
I think so too.
No, she's amazing. I really wanted to see her win that last fight because she's been campaigning to be the first mom champ of the UFC, and that's just, I can't wait to see a female champion in the UFC that's also a parent. That would be just really awesome.
Yeah, that kind of hurt me to watch that one.
Happen one day. Somebody will do it. There'll be a mom champ one of these days, and it'll be a cool day.
You never know. She might bounce back.
She might.
You know?
She might indeed.
She's only 33 years old.
Yeah. That's younger than me.
All right, so Drew, let me ask you something. What do you do when you're not at work? What do you do for fun?
Oh, well, I'm like you. I kind of fall deep down hobbies. I love video games. Every now and then I'll jump down an editing rabbit hole and just kind of go way farther than I need to, you know, editing a vacation video or something like that. I love collecting retro video games and sometimes cleaning and restoring those. I like to build little video game emulation stations out of an arcade cabinet or a little portable unit. And recently, I think I've started collecting coins. I don't know how it happened, but I started doing it.
You're not sure, you think.
It just kind of happened, man. I didn't like go out to do it. It just happened. I don't know. You know. But no, I've got a little bunch of random nerdy hobbies. Luckily, I can do them all from the comfort of my home. So,
I mean, I think it's great, but you know, I follow you on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot, and I noticed that a lot of your posts that are when you're not working, very few of them have to do with like fountain pens. Is that deliberate? Do you keep like your fountain pen, you know, career separate from your non-fountain pen life?
Not intentionally. It's weird. I don't have a single fountain pen in my home. Not one. And I don't know why. I love writing with fountain pens. I do it all day at work. But I just don't write at home a lot. At work, I'm writing constantly and just taking notes during meetings, making sure I remember everything. And I just don't do that at home. I don't know why. I guess I just don't need to remember anything. I don't know.
Happens when you are at home and you're like writing something down and all there is ballpoint pens and pads of paper and checkbooks and stuff like that? Is there a moment in time where you're like, shit, I forgot my fountain pen. I wish I had a fountain pen at home?
Every now and then, but I really just don't do a lot of writing at home. I really don't. I have a Retro 51 Honeybee pen that I keep here, but that's really it. If I need to jot something down, you know, it'll be here laying around somewhere. But really, it's just not something I do here. Everything's just so fast-paced here. At work, I am sitting down way more. I'm just concentrating more. At home, you know, I've got a six-year-old, and, you know, life is just a little bonkers. And then when everybody's gone to bed, that's when I have my nerd time and I play video games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is just not a part of that.
So do you have a favorite pen?
Probably, But that is a tough one. As I'm sure everybody tells you, I'm sure if I asked you the same question, it would be tough for you.
I could tell you right now, my favorite pen at the moment is my forged carbon that I just got in the mail. I literally opened it 20 minutes before I started this podcast.
I think that the Poniter quill nib is the most beautiful nib on the market today.
Isn't it?
I will say that confidently. It's tough. I there are a lot of pens that I like because of their form factor or their style, but then I've just got a couple pens that write for me flawlessly. And even if I'm not super in love with them, I know that they give me an amazing writing experience. So I reach for them a lot.
Which one would they be?
Overall, I find myself writing with my extra fine black matte vanishing point a lot. That's my go-to. If I'm ever going to like a work event, like an off-site work event, like a conference or something like that, and I need to take notes, it's so easy. I love the Japanese extra fine nib. And that one is one of those unique ones where it's an extra fine, but it puts down an extra fine line with good flow. It doesn't create an extra fine line by starving the flow, which I have a couple ultra extra fines by Platinum. And I don't find that they have that nice, it's like an extra fine with flow. And I think if you went any more fine than that, you'd sacrifice flow. So that one I just is such a standby. And then I have an extra fine Lamy 2000 that I write with a lot as well. I've written with that one for years. It was like my first next level fountain pen. And that one's got an extra fine nib too, but it's a German extra fine, so it's a little bit different.
So it's like lipstick.
Yeah, it's pretty thick, yeah. But I've got a couple of Viscontis that I love, write with them all the time. I've got one that I always keep inked up with Lexington Gray because it's one of my favorite inks, and I never get tired of it.
So going back to the vanishing point, would you say that that vanishing point extra fine is more pleasurable to write with than a Pilot Falcon extra fine? Because one of the things that people don't like about the Pilot Falcon extra fine is that when you write with it, it's like writing with a sewing needle.
That doesn't bother me. I've got a very light hand and I like to write very small when I've got a fine nib. So no, it wouldn't bother me. I think that I picked the VP because of its convenience, not necessarily the writing experience. It's just always reliable. It always writes. It's a perfectly tuned pen, but I love the Falcon. I have a custom 912 with an FA nib and I love writing with that one too.
I like the 912. Those are good.
Yeah, the flow was a little starved. So I was talking to this guy one time who told me to remove a part of it, and I ended up like ruining the feed in the process. So I'm never going to listen to that guy again.
Oh, that guy was such a jerk. Holy cow. I think I know who you're talking about. What a schmuck. Well, shame on you for listening to that idiot.
I tried to take that thing out. It worked. I won't say it didn't work, but I totally, that middle piece that I removed, I totally jacked it up in the process. It's totally cracked in half. But what I did
Oh,
was,
really?
oh yeah, I screwed it up big time, man. But what I did was I went on a Flexible Nib Factory website, and he makes custom feeds. And he makes a feed with a a double ink channel feed for the custom 912.
Right.
So it, because the custom 912 has the same feed for all of its different nibs. So they don't have a special one for the FA, which needs to put down a little bit more ink. So this guy actually custom makes these feeds. So I bought one and installed it, and it performs amazingly.
Wow.
He makes feeds for all sorts of stuff. Like if you want a standard Bock style feed for a Yovo pen, or a Yovo style feed for a Bock pen, or something that, or I don't know, if you basically you want compatible a Yovo nib to put on a custom 74, he makes a feed that can convert it. It's a really neat site, and he makes all these feeds himself, and they're all ebonite.
That's pretty awesome. So who is this again for the three listeners listening, just in case they're interested?
I don't know his name. It's a Flexible Nib Factory.
Flexible Nib Factory. I think I've heard about them. I've seen them on the social
Yeah.
media and whatnot.
It's pretty
I'm
unique.
actually curious about that, but there is a part of me that when I buy a pen, I can't swap out parts because if I do, I start getting OCD and I start becoming Rain Man in the airport, flipping out at Tom Cruise when he tries to get him on the plane. If anybody's seen that movie, you'll know what I'm talking about.
See, I want to see you do that now.
Yeah, I'll bug out. I'll be like, I can't live with this pen because the feed is not the original feed, and I will start to bug out and I can't justify it to myself.
Oh, you're a purist.
Yeah, I'm kind of a purist, I
Have you
can't.
ever tried to grind your own nib or customize a nib?
I've only did that once when that Conklin OmniFlex first came out, and that
Oh, that's
thing
right.
sucked so much ass. I gotta tell you,
nice.
I had to, like, what I did to that thing, I might as well have just melted it down and re-sculpted a nib with two fingers, a blindfold, and drunk, because it would have been better. It would have been better.
Nice.
Now, they've been doing some stuff and they're making it better, and I know I caused a little bit of ruckus with my haul. Oh, the new Omniflex. I still am convinced that there is newness about it. I will maintain my stance on that.
Oh, no, no, I'll give you that. There's definitely a newness.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely, but it was an iterative newness, mm-hmm. a gradual newness.
Right. I just happened to suddenly notice it.
But it's definitely way better than it used to be. Yeah. Way better than it used to be. And it did, there was kind of like a more obvious time when we started carrying the Sunstone. That was when we really saw a big improvement.
Yeah, that's because it was new.
But we're getting a whole lot less complaints on that now than we used to, for sure.
I was right.
And I'm super thrilled that they're switching to Yovo now. Like, I'm really excited about what's coming down the pipeline from Conklin and Monteverde.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that too. So far the Yovo nib is only on the Southwest Turquoise All-American. As of right now.
Actually, today we got in. Wow, crap. We were supposed to get in, and I'll have to check. We were supposed to get in the rest of the Conklin stuff. So the All-Americans, anything, all the black nibs got transitioned today at Goulet anyway.
That's exciting.
So Monteverde has yet to happen, but that's coming down.
Mm, it's probably going to happen within like the next like year or two, because they're pretty excited about it.
Oh, it won't take 2 years.
You don't think so?
Nah, first quarter 2020.
Sweet, I like it.
Oh yeah, they're moving fast. It was supposed to have been done already, but they made a big order from Yovo.
Mm. So they're dealing directly with Yovo instead of the American distributor.
I believe so. Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, that's their business. We're not here to talk about their business, but I like it. I think that when they eventually keep the Yovo nib on the Duragraph, the All Americans, they're probably going to corner the market with the most inexpensive acrylic pen with a Yovo nib.
That's the thing. And everybody's wanted to just love Conklin and Monteverde for so long because the price point is just such, it's in that beautiful zone between like 50, 75, 100. And people can justify the cost, even though it feels kind of like expensive if you're not used to buying a lot of fountain pens. But the nibs have never wowed anybody. There was never like a holy crap factor about them.
Mm-hmm.
But who doesn't like Yovo?
I'll tell you who doesn't like Yovo. Angry, cranky people who hate everything in life.
Ugh. Well, Yovo probably hates them too.
All right, listen, I want to start finishing up because I want to try to keep these a little under control, about 30, 35 minutes for a person's commute to work.
Sure, sure.
Before we head off, I have a question for you.
Lay it on me.
I want to know, from a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. how infected are you with the fountain pen virus? 10 being the most infected, 0 being not at all.
I think that I can't go to 10 because I admitted that I don't have any fountain pens in my home, so that immediately eliminates me. But I'm obsessed with learning more. I'm obsessed with talking about them to anybody who will listen. And I feel like I've done a solid penabling job over the last 8 years I've been at Goulet. So I'll give myself a solid 8.5.
I could go with that. I like it. 8.5 is good. 8.5.
I definitely cannot claim a 10. There are people out there that live and breathe it more than I do, but I feel like I do a solid 8.5 job in, you know, preaching the good word.
Penabling. I like it. I like it.
What about you?
Me, I am patient zero. I came up with fountain pen virus. Anybody from now on who says the word fountain pen virus, I infected them.
That's true. That's true.
You know? Like, I infected them. And I'm like a number 20 out of 10, if I'm allowed to do that, which I am because I made it up. Because I literally go to bed holding a pen. And then I play with the cap until I fall asleep. And as I fall asleep,
I put it on my nightstand. I'd heard that about you. I wasn't sure if it was true. The rumors are definitely
totally
out there,
true,
though. All right.
Yeah.
You name them too, right?
No, I don't. I know. That would just be weird.
Okay, you can fess up to that. You can fess up to that after we're done recording.
right. When we're done, when we stop recording. Hey, I do name them. No, but sometimes I'll go to bed with a pen and forget to put it on the nightstand, and then I wake up wondering where it is, and I go into a panic. And my wife is like, "Yeah, what the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "I lost my pen."
Oh, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I go to bed with a pen.
Oh,
I literally go
to
bed.
All right.
Sometimes it helps me sleep. Like, I'll hold the pen in one hand and I'll cap and uncap it, unscrew it and screw it in one hand until
wow.
I fall asleep. That's how infected wow. I am with the fountain pen virus. And I'm obnoxious about it at work. I will go up to people and tell them, like, you're less than me because you use a crappy pen. I would tell them, you know, just...
I'm sure they love you.
Yeah, they do.
Luckily, I can do that at work and it's totally normal.
Right, well, considering where you are, it is normal. If somebody comes in and they're just not, did you ever have to fire someone because they just won't get into the fountain pen thing?
On my team, yeah, I'm the customer care manager or customer relationship manager. We changed it recently. So I need my team to care, yeah, for sure. Because you're not going to take anybody seriously. If you call and expect support, you're not going to take anybody seriously if they're apathetic towards fountain pens.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you don't want to talk to anybody like, you can't even trust anybody like that. If one person is trying to give you suggestions or recommendations and they clearly don't have a passion for what you have a passion for, how seriously are you going to take their suggestion? Not seriously at all.
I hear you.
So no, my team definitely needs to bleed midway blue.
I like it. Well, listen, Drew, this has been absolutely fun. We should do this again.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you being on the podcast. And everybody out there listening, Drew Brown, everybody should, you know, shoot him an email. What's your email at Goulet Pens or anything? Follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm drew.brown@gouletpens.com.
Yeah, shoot him a hello. Ask him questions about pens because he's got answers. And thank you all for listening. Love you guys. Be well. Be safe.
Later.